While we're reading it, you pray for me that I can remember and know what God wants us to say tonight. But I know He'll give that because I really believe this is what He wants. Deuteronomy chapter 1. You guys aren't going to believe it. I got my notes right here. Definitely God is doing this. That is a miracle. Okay. Now I feel a lot better about this. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Our text is 26 through 40. We'll read that, but then I'm going to back up a little earlier in the chapter and we'll read. Okay. Verse 26, Deuteronomy 1, the Bible says, "Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God." And this is Israel. After God already told them to go into the promised land, they would not go because they didn't trust God. They didn't believe Him. You know, they struggled with this commandment. They murmured, verse 27, in your hearts and said, "Because the Lord hated us." That's quite a statement, by the way, isn't it? The Lord hated us, but our heart can get there sometimes. "He hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. And I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them." And don't you know, they were afraid. They were afraid. "The Lord your God..." I love this. Look at verse 30. "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you, according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, but in fire by night, and show you by what way you should go, and in cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your father, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land which, or rather that he shall he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because..." Will you say the last part of verse 36 together with me? Together. "He hath wholly followed the Lord." Now keep that in your mind, and I'll continue to verse 40. "Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, Thou also shalt not go in hither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither." Now let me say before I read the next words here. Miss Uliana pointed out in Sunday school this morning that when you read in the book of Numbers, that it actually says there that both Caleb and Joshua, both of these men together, are described as wholly following the Lord. So not just Caleb, as it says here, but Caleb and Joshua wholly followed the Lord. And these are the two that will go into the promised land. Okay? Now the last, or we're in 38. "Encourage him," we're speaking of Joshua, "for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in it thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." Again, the title is The Struggle of a Committed Follower. Father, again, we ask for your touch tonight, your blessings. We need to hear from you, so we pray for your grace. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Because I believe all my heart that God is doing this tonight, I know that He has a special blessing for somebody here tonight. And so as we are getting into this, let's have our hearts maybe a little extra open. I believe that we always tend to do that on church services, on Sunday nights. But maybe a little extra open tonight to just be maybe more mindful of what God might have for you personally in this. It is a struggle at times. What do I mean struggle? I mean commitment. Commitment can be a struggle. And I learned this early in marriage. I guess my wife would be more of the one who had to learn how to deal with annoying things early in marriage. Because when you're newly married, all of the things that, you know, you didn't even consider when you were interested in dating and all of those things, you didn't even think about. Because, you know, they were perfect. And there was no real problems or errors there until you get married and now you live together. And I remember my wife would be upset because I would throw clothes towards the hamper. You know, I mean, it'd be on the floor, maybe hanging on the side of the hamper, still guilty at times for that. But that made her crazy. But there's one thing that I did and still do, and I think, you know, I could have mentioned it this morning about my children because they struggle with this too. I think it's the number one thing that made her crazy earlier in our marriage, and that is whenever I wouldn't close drawers all the way. Okay? Like the door, maybe a door to, some of y'all are looking around at each other. When the cabinet door, and I'd close it, but it would be this much open. Or I would have a dresser drawer, and I would get clothes out, and then I would close it, but it would be maybe this much open. And my wife would wonder, like, why can't you just put, like, an ounce of more effort into this and just close it all the way? And I'm thinking, why is this a big deal to you? You know, I mean, I'm in a hurry. When I met her for the first time, she just amazed me. She took my breath away. You know, I mean, we were in choir, and she was tenor, I was tenor. The tenor section needed help, and she has that low alto voice, and so she was helping out the tenor section. And so it was me, a guy named Derek, and her, and we got acquainted with each other because Derek said funny things and weird things, and it made us laugh. So we got acquainted with each other, and we give Derek the credit for that. Thank you, Derek, for bringing us together through the humor of laughing at your mannerisms. And so we got to know each other that way, and I noticed her after that. I began to notice her in class. I began to notice her on campus. I remembered, becoming very interested and hopeful and prayerful. And I prayed every night, God, I wonder if it would be okay with you if maybe you would help her to somehow like me. And maybe something could happen this way, you know. And it was a prayer. I prayed those things. And I remember when she left school, she left for about a year and a half. And we weren't acquainted. We didn't see each other. And I just moved on in school. And she was a couple of years ahead of me. So when she came back to school, we were right at around the same year. And it was the first day of class of the spring semester. And so it was January. It was cold outside in Oklahoma. And the wind was blowing. I remember, I'm on my way to class. I'm kind of rushing. And I see that she's there. And we're crossing paths like this. And she's on her way into the gym. And I'm on my way to my class. And the sidewalk was not level right there. And so when you're across somebody, you're talking. But then when you pass them and she started to go into the gym, I turned around because I wanted to continue to talk to her. And so now I'm walking backwards. And that unlevel sidewalk, my heel caught it, and I tripped and almost fell right there. And it was in that moment that I completely fell for her. I know that. Because I walked up into the D building, and I peered out the third floor window, and I looked at the place where I had just tripped and almost fell to the ground, and she had went into the gym, and I said these words in my heart, I'm going to marry her. I said that. And I was a prophet. I knew God was going to do it. God was going to put us together. And it was amazing. But then when we got married, there were some challenges. There's struggles connected to that. And just like in marriage, there are challenges and struggles related to yours and I walk with God. I mean, listen, there are parts of our surrender that's glorious. It's incredible. It's amazing. And we remember hallelujah service and the preaching and the singing and the glory to the Lord. And when God starts to move in, and maybe sometimes when pastor gets a little excited, and then it kind of gets you a little bit excited, and you're thinking, this is good. I love this. I love the preaching. I love the singing. I love the piano playing. I love the choir when they sing. I love all of what we are as a church. And it's just kind of a blessing. But then we go home and we get to work and we're trying to live for God and we're in that grind. And what I'm trying to say is, it's not always flowers. It's not always easy. It's not always what I would say like the fun or the glorious times of serving God. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes there's the socks on the floor and the drawers are left open a little bit. And you have to have something that goes beyond just the feeling of being happy and joyful. There has to be something that goes beyond the emotion of being high and excited about the things of God. Well, what is that? It's a commitment. A commitment that's deep in your soul to say, I am a committed follower. And so there's something related to that that'll help you get through those struggling times, which we'll all have. Nobody's immune to this. Can I say that? We're all going to have these times. Maybe some of us are in that now. Caleb and Joshua had this. They were on the right path. God was working and they saw the hand of God. How frustrating would it be as a spy, two of the 12 spies that went into the promised land as given to them by God and see the blessings of God and see, yeah, of course, the enemy and all the opposition that would have been there, but to know with faith and belief in your heart that God can take care of this. God can give us this land. But there's murmuring taking place with the other spies. There's discouragement that's taking place with the other spies. And maybe you're trying to talk them into reason with them. You're trying to talk faith into them, trying to help them to see, listen, I see what you're talking about. I see the challenge and the struggle that you see. I see all of it. But here's what I see. God is bigger than that. God is faithful to His word, and God can give us this land. God can give us victory. Caleb and Joshua would have had that. But you know what they would have been surrounded by? A bunch of people who didn't want to believe God and surrender to God and listen to God. And that would have been a difficult context to be faithful. And that's where they were. This was the spirit that was surrounding them. Verse 26. Follow with me. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And so this is the spirit of the nation of Israel, starting with the 10 spies who came back with the evil report. And so there's murmuring, verse 27, in the tents. And listen to what they said. Because the Lord hated us and hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, and to destroy us. So the discouragement of these spies, which made its way, crept its way into the nation of Israel that didn't believe God, was a belief or a thought, some kind of a conclusion that people came to that God hated them. Now, what gets you to that point? I think struggles, don't you? I think going through hard seasons, difficult things in our Christian life. I'm not talking about consequences of sins. I mean, I think if we're filled up with, maybe ego or pride, then we can't see that what we're going through is a consequence of our own sins. Generally speaking, I would say those aren't the times that we struggle with the most. I would say as believers, the times that we struggle with the most is when we're doing what God wants us to do. We're trying to follow Him and letting Him lead the way all the way. And then we face those oppositions. And then we face those challenges. Like we said on Wednesday, we find ourselves in the cave and we're surrounded by darkness. And we don't see why God brought us here. And we know we've tried to follow Him, and we know we tried to do what He wants us to do, but now we're in this season and this challenge, and it can cause us, if we don't direct our attention to God in faith, if we can't see through the eyes or the lens of God, then we could have the spirit of the nation of Israel here. We could have this kind of a spirit to start pointing our finger at God. Why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting this take place in our nation? And so this would have been what was in their heart. Verse 28, it says, our brethren have discouraged our heart. Whither shall you go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. And so they became discouraged. Discouraged because of what they were going to face. Not sure that God could give them the victory. Now remember, God's faithful to His promise, but because of the challenges they were facing, it was making them not want to continue to move forward for God. It was causing them to want to stop. In fact, it did hinder them, and they would become, they would have to go into the wilderness for 40 years because of their lack of trust in God here. But God is, here's what we know, God is faithful to his promise, and God wanted them to know that he could give them the land, but they were becoming discouraged. Now, can you see the two sides here of this circumstance, the struggle? Where you have, okay, God says, I can get you through this, and I can give you victory here, but discouragement settles in and is going to hinder them from going forward for God. And I think discouragement might be the issue that hinders yours and my life sometimes. And we face those struggles, and what can it lead us to? Discouragement. I know that discouragement is a hindrance that we're going to face. I faced it myself, and my guess is that there's some of you who faced it too, and it might be that some of us are sort of facing it now or coming through it or maybe on the other side of it. But discouragement is an attack from, you know, the devil, and it's a desire from him for him to hinder us from moving in the direction that God wants us to go. So we're talking about discouragement tonight, in a sense, where you have the struggle and discouragement that sets in because of our wonder of how is this all going to work out? And discouragement comes. Okay? And so look what God says in verse number 29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. So this is God telling the nation of Israel, don't be afraid. Now, you and I read this and we think, well, yeah, I mean, of course, they should just not be afraid. And they should just trust God. But God's saying the same thing to you and me. He's saying, don't dread and don't be afraid. Now, okay, thank you for that. I mean, it's, and I appreciate, you know, the words. But it's, listen, not dreading and not being afraid as a way of removing discouragement, it's not easy to just embrace that, especially when you're in the middle of it and you're in the middle of going through it. It's hard. It can be hard. Listen, it can be hard to embrace by faith the words that God is giving here. Don't be afraid. Don't dread. And then he says, why? In the next verse 30, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And so God promises them not, or he commands them not to be afraid. But then he tells them why is because he's going to fight for them. And just like he's promising the nation of Israel that he's going to fight these enemies and give them the land, he wants you and I to know that too. He'll fight for us. Now for you and I to, you know, understand or experience God fighting for us, we have to be where God wants us to be. Because if you're not where God wants you to be, meaning moving forward for God in obedience to him, then he's not going to fight for you because you're not going into the land where the enemy is. The enemy that's causing us to be hindered and move back and causing us to, you know, in our heart to be discouraged, which will hinder us from moving forward, that enemy is who God says he'll fight. And that's where the devil wants us to be. He wants us to be discouraged. So we won't keep going. I feel like tonight there might be an attack on the spirit of a lot of the members of Western Hills Baptist Church in the area of discouragement. Because the devil wants to hinder what God's doing here. And he wants to keep us from moving forward. And so there are things that happen that cause us to stop being what God wants us to be. Now, it might not be, you know, it might not be what I would think it is in your life. It might be something out there. It might not even be something related to the church. But the devil wants to use any way he can to discourage God's people, to keep us from being faithful, from doing the things that God wants us to do. But if we quit, if we don't keep being faithful and doing what God wants us to do, then we won't get to watch God fight for us. He says, I'll fight for you. I'm like, but I don't know. I don't know if I can handle it. You see, you're missing it. You don't have to be able to handle it. God says, I will do it for you. I will fight for you. You just need to be there. You just go into the land. And then as you go, I will fight. And so that's where our faith needs to be. Faith needs to be faithful. Our faith needs to be obedient, doing what we know God wants us to do. And this is where Israel struggled. They struggled because of fear and discouragement, and so they wouldn't move forward. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. They didn't believe God. We see that. God had demonstrated himself faithful. He took them out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He did miracles all along the way, showing them that he was well able and capable of fighting for them and protecting them and giving them the land. It says in verse 33 that on the way that he gave them a fire by night and he gave them cloud in the day, just to tell them that he's there. He's with them all the time. And God does that kind of thing in our life too, to show us that he's there, that he's working, and that he's faithful. But we get discouraged and we don't follow the Lord. We don't let him lead us. We don't let him move us forward, and we get hindered because of discouragement. And then we miss it. But you know, there are two men who didn't do that. Look at verse number 34. The Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear, saying, surely there shall not one of these men, evil generation, see the good land, which I swear to give to your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And then if you pop down to verse 38, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And here's the reason why. It's the last part of verse 36. Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And really, this is the reason why. The lack of faith in God is what caused the nation of Israel to be hindered from going into the land, and they would spend another 40 years in the wilderness. But Caleb and Joshua, they would go into the promised land after those 40 years because they believed God, because they wholly followed the Lord. That word wholly just means entirely. It means completely. They were fully committed. That's what it means. Now, for you and I, let me look at one thing before I come down there. For you and I, this is where I think this touches us tonight. And reason why maybe God wanted us to do this sermon tonight instead of the original plan. And it's because the answer for you and I is to be wholly committed. Wholly follow the Lord. Like Joshua and Caleb. To be fully surrendered. To be devoted to the Lord. What's that mean? It means, watch this. No matter what. No matter what happens. Right. You know, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, deny yourself, take up your, what? Cross, follow me. Now, that word deny yourself, it has to do with setting yourself aside, right? Take up your cross, that would have had clear implications to any Jew who would have heard that, or any Gentile who would have heard it. Anybody of the Bible times who would have heard, take up your cross, they would have all thought the same thing. Die. A cross means die. They would have seen people hanging on the cross. And so they're dying. And so here's what God is saying to us in this passage. To follow me, take up your cross. Let's see, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. To follow God, you have to deny yourself. And you have to die to yourself. You have to. Now, okay, I've heard that all of my Christian life, I feel like. Can you help me understand it? Yeah, I can. I think I can. Here's what it means. When you decide you're going to be wholly committed to the Lord, you're wholly going to follow him, like Joshua and Caleb, it means that sometimes you don't want to. That's what it means. That's why he said, deny yourself. If you wanted to, you don't have to deny yourself. So God is saying, hey, I want you to eat this, you know, this box of cupcakes. And we might say, okay, I'm fully committed, totally devoted. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to eat the whole thing. Well, that you don't have to deny yourself to do that. But when God starts speaking to you about being faithful in areas where you struggle or where you're struggling, now you are going to need to deny yourself. You're going to need to die to yourself, because now God is asking you to do something you don't want to do. And here's the point that I think God is wanting to get across to us tonight. To be a follower of God, it means that you need to be devoted and committed as a follower, completely, fully surrendered to Him, determined to follow God, even in the times when you don't want to. I like this statement. I said this to class last week in the college and career class last Sunday. I said, here's another way to say it. Do it anyway. Sometimes the alarm clock goes off and you don't want to get up, so what do? You do it anyway. Sometimes you wake up and you don't want to read your Bible, so what do? You do it anyway. Sometimes you don't want to keep going. You don't want to keep reaching out. You don't want to keep being obedient and following in these particular areas. But you know that's what God wants you to do, because you're right where He wants you to be, and you're doing what He wants you to do. And how we feel doesn't really matter, does it? So not if we're a follower of Christ, because what we do is we set ourselves aside. We set our feelings aside. We set our emotions aside. We set our expectations aside. And we become a follower of God by saying, Lord, what do You want me to do? What direction do You want me to go? What spirit do You want me to have? And I'm going to do what You want me to do. I'm not going to do what I want to do in these times. I'm going to do what You want me to do. And that's what Caleb and Joshua did. Because they are in a nation. It's not just 10 spies that would have been their peers who are saying, are you crazy? And they have all this peer pressure that would have been on them to not want to go into the promised land. But they stood for what they know was true. They stood for what they knew would apply the promises of God and the commandments of God. No, God will give us this land. God will take us into this land. But it wasn't just the 10 spies, because the 10 spies convinced the whole nation of Israel to rebel against God. But you know who stood against that rebellion? Caleb and Joshua. Do you know why they did? Because they were wholly following the Lord. Amen. It didn't matter what anybody else did. It didn't matter the spirit of anyone else. It didn't even really matter what they would have wanted to do. What does God want us to do? What direction does He want us to go? What spirit does He want us to have? God, I want to be a committed, devoted follower of You. Then what we have to do is we have to deny ourselves. Take up our cross and follow Him. Meaning, do it anyway. Caleb and I have been doing a little bit of working out at the gym. And I would say that I haven't been putting my whole heart into it yet. Now, we're going to get there. He's putting way more of his heart into it than I am. I just don't want it to hurt too much. You know what I mean? I want to be there. I want to spend time with Him. But I don't want to work out too much, you know? Because I want to be able to move my arms tomorrow. And I know I need to get that corrected, and he and I are going to do a better job with that. Or, well, me. When you are in the gym or working out, there's a point in the process, and so those of you who've done this, you understand. There's a point in the working out process where at the beginning, it's not really that hard because you're still fresh and your muscles, you know, they're strong. But then the longer you work out, you start breaking those muscles down and your muscles start getting tired, right? And it starts to burn. And that's whenever you're working out. Right? The workout starts happening when the burn starts happening. And until you get to the burn, you're not really working out. So if you're on the treadmill and you're on a level 3 and you're barely moving, I worked out for a whole hour. Yeah, I mean, you're kind of barely moving. You know, we got to feel some burn, friends. It has to burn, because that's when the working out happens. Listen, living for God and being faithful to God sometimes burns. There's a burn there. Do you know what that causes some people to do? Quit. This hurts too much. I'm not really interested in this. I don't want to keep doing this. I can't do this. You ever said that while you're working out? I can't do this. Well, living for God can be like that. I can't do this. It burns too much. So what do you do when it starts burning? Well, it all depends on whether or not you are wholly following the Lord, fully committed, completely devoted. Because then you'll know what it means to be a follower of the Lord when the struggle happens, when the burn happens. Because when that takes place, here's what you need to do. You need to deny yourself. It can't be about you in the burn. What you do is you keep going. You stay devoted and committed to the Lord in the midst of that. You're wholly devoted and committed to the Lord, so you don't give up. You don't stop trying. You don't step away. I don't see how it's going to work out, Pastor. Well, God sees. I mean, the enemy looks too big for me. I don't know if I can handle any more of this. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what He wants you to do? The struggle can be real. The burn can be taking place. But if you're doing what God wants you to do, you keep doing what God wants you to do. And watch this. Ooh, this one to get exciting. Whenever you just keep doing it and you keep following and you keep pressing on in the midst of the burn, in the midst of the struggle, because you're fully committed, a follower of Christ, a follower of God, then what He says He'll do, and this is His promise, He'll fight for you. He'll fight for you. And when you watch God start fighting for you, it's pretty miraculous. He gets the glory for those times. It might not go how you expected. It might not be what you thought it was going to be. But whether or not you think it's going to work out, or whether or not things are going like you expected, it's all irrelevant if you're wholly following the Lord. You just keep going. That's what we need to do. Keep trusting. Keep being where He has you. He makes things work. He fights for us, and He wins. And so that's where we need to be tonight. The struggle of a committed follower. Do you know what the struggle of a committed follower is? Just keep going. That's the struggle. Just keep going. Like, this is really hard. I don't know how much more of this I can handle, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep going. I mean, remember many times in Nebraska, remember that? Really difficult seasons in Nebraska. The church we had for 2 years, friends, Sunday night. See this? Look across how good of a crowd we have tonight. For 2 years in Nebraska, we had two people. Miss Melissa had to be in the nursery the whole time because of Ethan and Andrew. And the other two were just wild when she, they had a tendency to be that way. So, I mean, she would be in the nursery with all four of the boys every Sunday night. And so we had two people. And sometimes, with just one. And then on an occasion, it was just my family there. And that's a long 2 years. And there were times I wondered, why are we here and why are we doing this? And I'm putting all this effort and doing all this work, and the church is never going to grow. We're never going to move forward. And I would cry like a baby, and I would complain to the Lord about having us there. And in the midst of all that, I would feel convicted about my spirit. But every Sunday, every Monday, when I got up, what I decided? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep being where He wants me to be. I know He wants me here, so we're just going to keep doing it. To be wholly committed to the Lord, to wholly follow Him is just to stay. No matter what's happening around you, just to stay. And that's where God wants us to be tonight. And I'm not really sure, I can't say for sure why maybe God wanted this message. Obviously He knows. I wasn't really ready to do this one, but I knew that this is what God wanted. Can you be encouraged tonight that you're not unusual if you're struggling? You're not unusual. Because there's a struggle to being a committed follower. Just be faithful. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Just keep going. God will fight for you. He'll fight for you.